Well, hey, good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. Thanks so much for joining us today. My name is Paul and I'm the teaching pastor at the Marion campus. You know, this past week as I was preparing for Sunday, I really was fascinated and struck by this idea that our joy for Easter is really proportionate or linked to our appreciation for Jesus. It reminded me a little bit of the movie Sandlot. Toward the beginning of the film, or just a little bit into the film, Scotty Smalls, more often known as Smalls, from the famous quote, "Killing me, Smalls." Anyway, Scotty's the new kid on the block, and he's in a neighborhood full of kids who love and are really good at baseball, he of which is neither. And there's this moment where Hamilton Ham, the catcher, he is doing an impression, and he's got a beef stick in his mouth, and he's saying, "I'm the great Bambino," and nobody knows what he's talking about at first, and then eventually all the other kids say, "Oh," and Smalls, he comes around the corner, and he says, "Who?" And it sort of kicks off this chorus of nicknames for Babe Ruth, you know, the Colossus of Clout, the Sultan of SWAT, the King of Crash, and out of embarrassment, Small says, "Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about," and he really has no idea. And it made me think back to 2016, walking into a LifePoint church in Delaware on Easter Sunday, and a bunch of people are really excited and really happy, and I didn't really feel what they felt. I saw what they felt, but I didn't really personally feel what they felt. And I think so often walking into a church on Easter Sunday, we know we're supposed to feel all this joy, and so many of us do, praise God. And at the same time, I think it's really common maybe for us not to feel the joy that we believe we're supposed to feel on Easter Sunday. And so that was really the idea I was digging into. And to do that, we went and did a bit of a survey of the Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then his really abandonment, his betrayal, and then going to the cross and eventually landing in the wonder and the beauty of the resurrection and the empty tomb. And Jesus not just having an empty tomb, but then revealing himself very much alive to his disciples. But going back to that idea that, man, our joy for Easter is really going to be connected to and dependent upon our appreciation for Jesus. And so to really try and heighten that appreciation for Jesus, we just spent time looking at the fact that Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. That's what Isaiah says in chapter 53, verse 5 of his prophetic book in the Old Testament, that he was crushed for our iniquities. And so we dug into that. What does that look like? What does that mean? And what's amazing is just the beauty of the scriptures, so intertwined, so interconnected. We see Jesus praying at the Mount of Olives, and toward the foot of the Mount of Olives is a place called Gethsemane. And the word Gethsemane, when you break it down into its sort of substructures, it's really two words put together, and those two words are place and crushing. And so what we see is Jesus pouring his heart out to God, pleading with the Father, "Is there any other way to save these people? Can you make this cup, this plan that you have, can you pass it from me, Father?" And I'm paraphrasing here. And essentially the Father says no. We don't get any language from the Father, but he does send an angel to comfort and to encourage Jesus. But Jesus is so distraught, he sweats blood. Jesus in that moment is being crushed for our iniquity. Then he's crushed by the betrayal of his follower Judas. Then he's crushed by the abandonment of one of his closest friends and followers, Peter. Then he's crushed by the injustice of the legal system. And then he is literally pierced and crushed as he's hung on the cross and crushed by the wrath of God against our sin. Just absolutely crushed. And it's stunning. And yet, as Jesus was crushed by the Father, the head of the serpent was also crushed. And because Jesus was crushed, and because he made the payment for the penalty of our sins, we can have life because, again, the enemy has been crushed. And as Jesus walks out of the grave, it is the verification that all of that is true. And that, church, is why we should have great joy to understand just the incredible reality of what Jesus has done for us from Good Friday to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And so we talked about that. And I hope that's an encouragement for you this morning, that you would just continue to live in the joy of the resurrection. And if you don't feel that joy, and maybe you feel like I should feel it more, I just want you to dwell on what Christ has done for you. And I know that's been good for my soul this week to just dwell on what it is Christ has done for me, that he was crushed for my iniquities, that I was deserving of the wrath of God, but Jesus took it for me. And so let's spend a moment in prayer today. And I do want to say thanks again for joining us here on the DriveCast. I'm going to pray for us first, and then I want to give you some time to pray as well. Father, we thank you that your plan was to crush Jesus. And it sounds weird to say that, but it's the reality of what happened. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your faithfulness, for your steadfastness to be willing to be crushed for us, that you would endure the cross, that you would endure the wrath of God, the Father, your Father, that you would endure it all so that we might have new life through faith in you. And so we praise you. We want to glorify your name. We want to lift your name high, Jesus, because of the wonderful things that you've done for us. Would you give us joy? Would you give us peace? Would you give us happiness? Because we see what you've done for us and because we understand we have been made alive because of you. We praise your name, Jesus. Lead us today as we go. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.